Morning. A lot happening in the readings today. A whole lot is happening in the readings today. And a lot's happening in this church today, too, because we're welcoming the first responders and our RCIA candidates as well. But we're going to do our best to get through all of it and in a way that is lifts our hearts and minds to God. So the gospel ends today on a rather ominous note. These are the last words that we heard from the gospel just a second ago that Deacon Mike proclaimed. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all, and he did not need anyone to testify to him about human nature. He himself understood it well. Now, human nature, as we experience it, is fallen. Human nature, as we experience it, is going to encounter Jesus. And this is what's going to happen to Jesus. Jesus says this cryptically in the gospel today. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He knew they were going to destroy the temple that is his body. He knew that when he entrusted himself to them, they were going to kill him. He knew that. And he gives this kind of cryptic forecast. He knew human nature well. He didn't need anybody to tell him about it. And our nature, my brothers and sisters, our nature is distorted by sin. Human nature. Now, on the good side, we were made in the image and likeness of God. You need never lose sight of that truth. We were made in the image and likeness of God. We were made with a divine spark in us. God's beloved children. But we're well aware of the fact that the disease of sin has infected us. And it has distorted our hearts. God has written into us, into your heart and mine. God has written his law. And his law is of love. It is written into us. But what sin does is it distorts that law. It distorts it and darkens it and covers it over and makes us justify and rationalize, and we find ourselves doing all kinds of things against the law of God's love. The first reading today was the Ten Commandments. Did y'all get that? The first reading today was the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, we call the Ten Commandments in Catholic theology natural law. They are written into our human nature. They are already on our heart. The problem is the natural law has been distorted by sin. And so God had to make the natural law explicit. And he made it explicit by giving us the Ten Commandments. And when the Ten Commandments are delivered to us, they're delivered on two tablets. And the two tablets, again, the way the church understands it is we have the two tablets of the law. And the first three commandments deal with our relationship with God. And the second seven commandments deal with our relationship with our neighbor. And the two great commandments deal with the love of God and the love of neighbor. And what are the two great commandments? You should all know this. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. And all of that, the law of love, sums up the Ten Commandments that were given to us, again, in the first reading. Let me read those Ten Commandments for you. Well, I'm not going to read them for you just yet. I'm going to read them in just 1 second. First, I'm going to say, do you know them? If I passed out that piece of paper today that I'm always threatening you with and said, write them all down, all 10 of them, you think you'd get a 100? Let me tell you, I don't think you would, because I've done it. Okay, I have actually done that. I was appalled at their scores I got, okay? But we have to ask ourselves, what is the foundation of our moral life? The love of God and love of neighbor. How is that lived explicitly? The commandments of God. Don't tell me you love God if you don't keep the commandments. That's, I'm quoting the Bible. quoting the Bible there. So what are those 10 commandments? The first three are relationship with God. You shall have no other gods beside me. You shall not carve idols for yourself in the shape of anything in the sky above, on the earth below, or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. That's the first commandment. The second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The third commandment, you shall keep holy the Sabbath day. Our relationship with God summarized in those commandments. The second table of commandments, honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female slave, or his ox or his ass, or anything. So these commandments and how to deal with our neighbors summed up the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now the law is good, but the law doesn't save. All the law does is point out to us that we need a savior because we can't keep the law. That's what the law does. And so the law calls us to a place of humility. The law calls us to a place of sacrifice. The law calls us to a place of repentance and mercy and all of those things. The law comes through Moses, but grace comes through Jesus Christ. And we pray this day for the outpouring of God's grace. It's one of the reasons that you're here this morning, to be renewed in the grace of God. Now, that's the first reading. Now I'm going to move into the gospel as quickly as I can and get through it. And they're related, I promise you. We'll bring this together. So, since the Passover of the Jews was near, the Passover is one of the three big feasts of the Jews. And the male Jews are required by the Torah to go up to the temple every year for the three major feasts, okay? So Jesus, being 30 years old or so, would have gone to the temple dozens of times. And he would have experienced what he experienced this day dozens of times. And what did he experience when he got to the temple? He got up there and he found in the temple area those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, as well as the money changers. He had seen it over and over and over again in his life. And he was biding his time. He was waiting for the day. And the day has come. And the day has come. It says, if you remember the proclamation of the gospel a moment ago, he says he made a whip out of cords. I always imagine Jesus arriving at the temple that day and seeing the money changers and seeing the oxen and the doves and all of that and the tables. And I just see him walking over to the side and sitting on some steps and taking a couple pieces of leather and braiding them together. Very deliberate, very patient, not rashly, not flying off the handle, very deliberate, very methodical. And he makes this whip and he goes over and he starts driving them out of the temple area. Just imagine that for a second. He's driving them out of the temple area, driving their animals out. Then he gets to their tables and he flips their tables over and the money goes flying and you're like, who is this guy, right? He's a man. He's bold. He's strong. He's deliberate. He's courageous. He's put up with this foolishness his whole life. They have taken the temple of God and turned it into a marketplace. See, what is the temple of God? We have to remember what the temple is. What the temple is, what the temple was supposed to be. The word contemplation comes from temple. It's supposed to be a place of contemplation, a place of prayer, a place to encounter God. It's supposed to be a place of worship, a place of healing, an express to express our sorrow, a place of celebration, a place of sacrifice, a place where God and man come together. It's supposed to be all of those things. And the people in charge of the temple, what had they turned it into? They turned it into a place to steal and a place that is filled with distractions and noise. See, this is the way the temple was designed. It would be like you had the inside part, like we're in here, and then you had the outside part, like where our parking lot is, and the priests and whatnot would come to the inside part. But the whole outside part was for all the rest of the people to pray. And what they would do as part of their prayers, they would buy animals for the priests to sacrifice to God. The doves and the ox and that. But see, they set it up so that you couldn't use Roman coins. You had to use the Jewish coins to buy the animals. So they set up their marketplace, and you had to change your money from Roman coins to Jewish coins, and you did not get a good exchange rate. It'd be like the exchange rate at the Atlanta airport. Don't ever change your money at the airport, okay? That's the kind of exchange rate you would get. They would be stealing from them. And oh, by the way, the place where the animals were all kept was supposed to be the place that people prayed. You can see why Jesus was aggravated now, right? And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. The nature that was in those people that took the place of God and turned it into a marketplace, that's the nature that's in us. It has to be healed by God's grace, which is getting us further down in this reading of the gospel today. So he flips over their tables and he drives out their animals and they ask him a question. What sign can you give for doing us? It would seem like they would protest more vigorously than that, right? He'd be like, what are you doing? This is legitimate. But they didn't even say this is legitimate. They knew it wasn't legitimate. What sign can you give us for doing this? And he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And we all know, I hope you all know what temple he's talking about, because I've already mentioned it. It's the temple of his body. You know that thing that I was explaining, all the things that the temple is? It's the place to encounter God. It's the place of worship. It's to find healing. It's to express our sorrow. It is all of that. That's what Christ is and does for us. And so he says, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. He's speaking about the temple of his body. Note, it is not that we have loved God, it's that God has loved us. And he is our temple, he is the fulfillment of the law, and we are united to him. Do you not know, and I ask you this, I say this to you, I'm quoting the Bible, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? How many times have I challenged you with that truth? That your body is to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Quoting St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred to the Lord, and you are being built into a dwelling place of God. And then St. Paul, Peter's letter, you are living stones built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And so our Lord Jesus Christ comes to be our temple. And then through baptism and Holy Communion, we are united to the temple of God. And you know what we can do with our bodies? We can do exactly what Jesus did. We can offer them up to God. Have you ever thought about that? Or we can turn the temple of God into just money. See the temptation there? See the perpetual challenge that we have there? And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I challenge you in this Lenten season, those of you preparing for baptism and Holy Communion and confirmation, to recognize that you're being drawn into union with Jesus Christ, and that you offer your lives to God through Jesus Christ. And there will be all kinds of things trying to distract us from that which we were created for. But God gives us these beautiful commandments, doesn't he? To honor God, to not use his name in vain, to keep holy the Sabbath day, and to love our neighbors. You know, one last point about the commandments of God. They sound like a bunch of thou shall nots, and in some sense they are. But they also have a flip side to them. When God says you shall not steal, he's also saying you have the right to private property. When God says you shall not commit adultery, he's saying you have the right that your spouse will be faithful to you. Right? When he's saying you shall not lie or bear false witness, he's saying you have the right not to be lied about. And so there is this flip side to the commandments that is beautiful and good. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, today we strive to keep God's commandments, to honor him, to be united to him, to offer our lives in union with Jesus, who is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we see the boldness of Jesus and his courage, knowing he's going to be crucified, but still standing up for what is right. May we in our temple have the courage to do the same thing.